Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
It's Aloha Friday, no work till Monday. I never remember the rest of those words, but I remember the most important ones. It's Aloha Friday. Aloha to everybody from Waikiki Beach in Hawaii on the end of day. We call it Pauhana. Pau means finish, hana means work. So Pauhana is kind of like the happy hour, but when it's Friday, it's Aloha Friday Pauhana, the best part of the week. If you're here, say aloha to us. Comment. Hey, Tony, good to see you. And don't forget to press the share button. Get the word out. So what's the haps, Pat Gervais? What did you name your motorcycle? Aloha, Martha. Good to see you, too. Don't forget to press the share button. I'm sorry I missed yesterday. I went to the surgeon's office. I've got a ripped bicep. It's a totally torn bicep. So next week, I get to have it reconnected. Another adventure for me. So that's where I was yesterday. Sorry. Hey, Chris. Aloha, Brett. Glad you're here. Don't forget to press the share button. Here in Waikiki Beach, the mysteries of Jesus' infancy. I had a good time surfing yesterday with Cindy to stand up paddling. I had caught a really long ride in from Pops almost to the Royal Hawaiian. And I looked out and I saw my wife way out there, like 0.2 miles out there. I saw her paddling for a big one. And she missed it, and then here came another big one, and she caught it. She rode long, long ways in, so it was a great time with her. Pat Gervais, you better come up with a good name for that. By the way, we know the bike is scarlet or crimson. Isn't that kind of redundant? I don't know, man. You better come up with a cooler name than that. I don't know. Something about patriotism, maybe? Who knows? Of course, scarlet and crimson is consistent with... Isaiah, though your sins be like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they'll be white as wool. So maybe you're going that way with it. I don't know. The mysteries of Jesus' infancy, it's paragraph 527. Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day after his birth. It's interesting. I think that's the scripture reading for today. I read it today. I think it was the scripture reading for today where Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. And I was reading in Abraham today in the book of Genesis where he talks about how Abram, before Isaiah was born, circumcised himself at the age of 99 and all the members of his household and Ishmael. And then today's reading, I think, in Mass is about the circumcision of Jesus on the eighth day. And so the eighth day is the new day, right? That's Sunday. That's the beginning. So in a sense, it's as if there was the original state of man, and then there was a circumcision, which was the beginning of the new covenant. It was the first covenant made with man, with Abraham. And circumcision isn't so how important is a circumcision of the body, but it's the circumcision of the heart that God is after, right? That's a pretty cool name. Hey, Chris Vargas, when you say Crimson Trigger, I hope you're thinking of the horse that the Lone Ranger rode. Or was that Roy Rogers? I think it was Roy Rogers' horse. Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day after his birth is the sign of his incorporation into Abraham's descendants. You remember how Abraham got his name? It was Abram, and then God added, when he said to him, "You will have a child," he says he fell on the ground face down and laughed. So I consider that the first, you know, the LOLs and things like that of texting, the ROF, L means rolling on the ground, rolling on the floor laughing. Abraham was the first one to laugh like that, raffle like that. And he was laughing because I don't think he doubted it, because God said he believed, but he was like blown away by it. And then Sarai laughed too. And so God put a ha in each of their names. So he made from Abram and became Abraham, from Sarah. So it was, he put a ha-ha in their names. And of course, Abraham then being changed from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means the father of many nations. So Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day after his birth is the sign of his incorporation into Abraham's descendants, into the people of the covenant. It is the sign of his submission to the law. So it's a covenant that God himself said that he would ensure would happen, that he would be faithful. We can't make him do that, but he does that of his own volition, right? And his deputation to Israel's worship, in which he will participate throughout his life. So Jesus, this sign prefigures that circumcision of Christ. And what is that? That's the baptism. The Epiphany is the manifestation of Jesus as Messiah of Israel, Son of God, and Savior of the world. The great feast of Epiphany celebrates the adoration of Jesus by the wise men, the Magi from the East. Now, my father was born Ukrainian Catholic. It's part of the Roman Catholic Church, but of the Catholic Church, but it's Ukrainian Rite. And there, they don't celebrate Christmas as much as they celebrate the Epiphany when the Magi come. That's their big celebration. It's interesting. The great feast of Epiphany celebrates the adoration of Jesus by the wise men from the East, together with his baptism in the Jordan and the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. In the Magi, representatives of the neighboring pagan religions, the gospel sees the first fruits of the nation. So we know this very limited Jewish Hebrew religion, suddenly it's from the very moment it begins, it's a word to all the nations, to everyone. It bursts out beyond the wineskin. The new wine bursts out to all of the nations, to everyone. In the Magi, representatives of the neighboring pagan religions, the gospel sees the first fruits of the nations who welcome the good news of salvation through the incarnation. The Magi's coming to Jerusalem. Now think about this. The Magi were already on their way long before Jesus was born. It indicates to us that life begins in the womb, right? They were already on their way. They already knew that a king was conceived and would be born. The Magi's coming to Jerusalem in order to pay homage to the King of the Jews shows that they seek in Israel, in the messianic light of the Star of David, the one who will be king of the nations. Their coming means that pagans can discover Jesus and worship him as Son of God and Savior of the world, only by turning towards the Jews and receiving from them the messianic promise as contained in the Old Testament. The Epiphany shows that the full number of the nations now takes its place in the family of the patriarchs and acquires Israelitica dignitas, Israelite dignity. They are made worthy of the heritage of Israel. The presentation of Jesus in the temple shows him to be the firstborn son who belongs to the Lord. With Simeon and Anna, all Israel awaits its encounter with the Savior. The name given to this event in the Byzantine tradition, Jesus is recognized as the long-expected Messiah, the light of the nations, and the glory of Israel, but also a sign that is spoken against. The sword of sorrow predicted for Mary announces Christ's perfect and unique oblation on the cross that will impart the salvation God has prepared for the presence of all peoples. So we see again, we start out talking about the circumcision, and then here at the temple, the prophet says to her, your heart will be pierced, to Mary. So you don't get to go to heaven without us being pierced. You don't get to go to heaven without a sword circumcising your heart. We know that on the way to, when they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, there was a flaming sword guarding the entrance, so you couldn't go back into that garden. The only way you enter into the garden of God, to the paradise of God, is with a sword piercing your heart, circumcising your heart. So no one gets to heaven without being pierced. Mary was pierced. She wasn't physically pierced, but her heart was pierced. Jesus was pierced too. He didn't go to heaven without being pierced. I'll let you enjoy Waikiki. It's so beautiful, Waikiki. These days, the beach is often full of suntan lotion from all of the tourists, right? The suntan lotion goes into the water when they're swimming, and then it gets brought up on the sand. And we've been noticing over the last 3 months that sort of filmy, soupy suds that we see sometimes from the suntan lotion is basically gone. The ocean has revived the beaches and cleaned the beaches off. So that's kind of cool. So we love you guys. Have a great weekend. Football's just around the corner, Tony. Don't worry. It's going to be here soon. I'll bless you. We'll bless with the sign of the cross in Hawaiian. Maka ino oka makua kekeki ka uhane hemalele. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
These are unprecedented times for our world, our nation, and our faith. Cities are being burned. The debate rages over our national identity, and a global pandemic has shut down our parishes and deprived the faithful of the sacraments. Times like these can challenge our faith and our hope. Now more than ever, Catholics need to utilize technological advances to strengthen their faith. Endorsed by faithful bishops and cardinals, Breadbox Media is answering this need by providing on-demand podcasting that is faithful to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. Our podcasts let you nurture your faith at any location, at your convenience, and at no cost. We are able to provide this free service because of the generosity of our donors. Would you consider giving a donation today to support this vital ministry? Not only is your donation tax-deductible, but you will be helping to transform hearts, minds, and our culture for Christ. Donations can be made by going to breadboxmedia.com. Thank you, and may God bless you.